O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Lord God, for a brand new season, a brand new year, a brand new day. This is a day that the Lord has made, a day that we shall rejoice and be glad. And Father, as we come before you on today, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us in spite of us. Thank you, Lord God, for working miracles in spite of us. Thank you for your mercy and grace in spite of us. Thank you for your faithfulness and loving kindness in spite of us. And Lord God, we just want to lift up our voice, oh Lord God, and magnify your holy name. For Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. And as we come together today, oh God, I pray that you would meet us at our point of need. Speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, strengthen your people. Help your people. Deliver your people. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would bring a mighty deliverance, Lord God, that's needed in the earth on today. Lord God, the devil is running rampage. But Lord God, you're still in control. And I pray, Lord God, that you bind the devil on every hand and come against, Lord God, the root and the source of evil. And Lord God, we bless your holy name. We acknowledge you as God and God alone. And beside you, there is none else. And Lord God, as we move forward in the word, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would strengthen us, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to be encouraged, Lord God, to stay in this race. Lord God, hallelujah, because it's a good thing to be saved. It's a good thing to be sanctified. It's a good thing to be baptized and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, Ramashanda Mahaya, Rede Sitya Maha. Lord God, we pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, as the word go forth, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that all things be done decently and in order. And dear Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. And as the songwriter said, everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is so worthy of all of the praise on today. Amen. God bless you all, and thank God for being able to come before you. Amen. In a brand new year, a brand new season, and prayerfully, amen, we all have a brand new mindset, praise God, amen, to live our fullest, amen, for the Lord, and to be the best that we can be for Him. Amen. Happy New Year to you all. Amen. Praise God. The scripture reading on today is found in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. And it reads, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." May God bless us through this, the reading of His holy word. The subject on today's message is Give God Your All. And this is a place, amen, where we should all want to be, or the mindset that we should all have, to give God your all. Amen. In our lesson text, we hear the Lord Jesus respond to an inquiry which one of the scribes asked concerning the first commandment of all. His question was not pertaining to the order in which God's commandments were to be followed, but which one was of greater importance. Although we know that everything that God commands us to do is important, I can truly understand the nature of his question, because sometimes a person can assume that they are in right standings with God because they adhere to certain practices, such as going to church. And many of us are familiar with the scripture found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, which starts off by saying, "Not forgetting the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." In other words, we should not neglect to gather together, because when the saints come together, we can benefit from the fellowship services. When we hear one another testify to the glory of God, when we hear of the miraculous works that God is doing, it strengthens us. So in that aspect, it's a good thing for us to fellowship, because we can strengthen one another. But to put things in proper context, going to church alone will not save us. It becomes a question of motives. If our hearts is not in the right place, then we are just going through the motions. And therefore, attending church becomes more of a ritual. While Christian fellowship is encouraged, what is greater and most acceptable to God are vessels that offer Him pure worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Pure worship dictates that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So in order to please God, you must do things the right way and in the right spirit. When you are living according to His moral precepts and seeking God for a more intimate relationship, this has a greater value than just going to church. If we consider the Pharisees in the Bible, they were looked upon as the religious authority during that time. and were well versed in scripture. They were correct, moral, zealous, and self-denying, but they were also self-righteous. Though the Pharisees upheld ceremonial laws and the tradition of the elders, they omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. They were not the kind of people who would condescend to men of lower state, because anyone outside of their circle was not considered their equal. And so Jesus called them hypocrites, serpents, and a generation of vipers, because outwardly they appeared to be righteous, but inwardly they concealed corruption. They took pride in having a certain look and perhaps having the intellect, but the weightier matters which they should have done was left undone. Amen. And whatever God required them to do, they did not do. And as the scripture says, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God, as declared by the prophet Micah. And then we see an example of a people who assumed that they were doing things right, or they were doing things the right way, but they had the wrong spirit. So in response to the question asked, Jesus gave the scribes a direct answer. And it is notable that he did not recite verbatim any of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to Moses, as recorded in Exodus chapter 20. Jesus tells them that the first of all commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This great commandment is inclusive of all, because if you love the Lord, you will keep all of his commandments. You will serve no other gods. You will honor your mother and your father. You would not kill, commit adultery, or steal, because the love of God would constrain you from doing these things. Love is a constraining virtue which compels everyone who named the name of Christ to walk worthy of their calling and vocation. To love the Lord with all of your heart means to denounce everything that is unlike him. And this is an age-old battle between the flesh and the spirit when it comes to serving God, or when you are called to a higher calling. Some people find it difficult to make the necessary sacrifices by denouncing all the works of the flesh. They want to live for Jesus, but at the same time maintain access to the very things that keep them in bondage. But if you are in bondage, then you are not free. And if you are not free, then you have to ask yourself a question, and where is your victory? When you are called into servitude, it is not for us to half step, but to serve the Lord with our whole heart. We must give him our all and not focus on what we had to give up, but reflect on what we have gained. In review of the Apostle Paul's testimony, which is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, he gave us to know that he denounced and gave up much for the sake of the gospel. He himself was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, an eminent doctor of the law. Paul was a scholar who was taught according to the perfect manner of the laws of his ancestors. But he walked away from all of his honor and advantages as a Jew and a Pharisee, and submitted to the doctrine of grace and the preaching of the gospel. In the Pharisaic society, position and prestige was everything. But Paul denounced these superficial religions, or this superficial way of living, and he embraced what was true, right, and just. As a servant of the Lord, he suffered the loss of all things. And Jesus showed him how he would suffer great things for his name's sake. Paul wrote, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." In other words, those things which he had counted gain while he was a Pharisee, or while he was in a prominent position, he was willing to suffer a loss that he might gain Christ. Paul wrote, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And this is the kind of selflessness that every Christian should strive to achieve. Some saints never come to grips with the importance of giving up everything pertaining to their former life that they may gain Christ. And the things that they refuse to let go of becomes a thorn in their side that will continually hinder their walk with God. How can you love the Lord with all of your heart, or serve him with all of your heart, when there's always something there to trigger or wake up old natures, old behaviors, and old appetites? When you give your life to the Lord, one of the first things that you must do is empty yourself. Self has to die so that the Spirit of Christ could have the preeminence in you. Paul declared in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." You have to reach the point where you get to say, I'm no longer my own. I've been brought with a price. If you want to reach full stature in God or live a spirit-filled life, then self has got to die. You must decrease so that God can increase in you. Amen. Looking once again to our lesson text, Jesus said the first commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. We ought to serve him with fervor, with intensity, with every fiber of our being, because in him we live, we move, and we have our being. He's the very breath that we breathe, praise God. Jesus goes on to say, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." referring back to the commandments found in Exodus chapter 20 again, if you love your neighbor, you would not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You would not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 13 and 10 also says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. In summation, to be a Christian or Christ or a Christ-like individual, you must love God and treat everybody right. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In Luke chapter 6, 46, he said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you can't call yourself a Christian and walk contrary to the will of God and disobey his commandments. In a country where a vast majority of people identify themselves as Christians, let me assure you that being a Christian in name only means nothing. If God looks upon you and he does not see the image or reflection of his Son, then your profession is in vain. The litmus test for a godly man or a godly woman is that they love God and have a love for their fellow man. 1 John 4 and 20, verse 20 and 21 declares, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In other words, how are you going to say that you love God and you have never seen him and cannot love the people that you see every day? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We have been characterized as a Christian nation. But when you see the behavior and actions of those who are leading this nation, where is the love of God? All I see is a very dim light surrounded by darkness. We are a very prosperous nation, and don't think for one minute that we are financially strapped. When we hear our government crying about the debt ceiling or the fiscal spending, and they make it seem like we're just so strapped for cash and it's just not there, the money's just not there. How can that be true? And so if they're saying, that the money is near depletion, then the government needs to give an account as to where the money went and give an account to every taxpayer as to how every, where every single penny went and how every single penny was spent. And I guarantee you that they will not do it, because then it will be exposed that there's a black hole where millions of our dollars are going into it. It is falling in there, and it has nothing to do with Medicare, Medicaid, building better homes and roads, Social Security, or sending aid to our allies. Money is being funneled into, let's just call it, the unknown, and it has nothing to do with the betterment of how people should be living in this country. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, our population was 333,000,000 287,557 at the end of 2022. An estimate of 40% paid no taxes. And all of this is public information. So of the estimated 260,788,000 taxpayers, the federal, state, and local government received a revenue in fiscal year 2022 of $8.5 trillion. It is projected that $8.3 trillion of taxpayers' money will be contributed in fiscal year 2023. So how are we destitute of money? Why should there be talks of cutting social security and Medicare for the elderly, some of which work all of their lives and contributed to a system so that they could have some type of security in their golden years? There should be no homelessness or hungry people in this country. There's no reason why we cannot help immigrants who are looking for a better life to gain their footing, even if it's for a short period of time. Some politicians will help who they want to help, but will turn a blind eye to others. This is not the love of God. And these immigrants are escaping corruption in their own government, poverty, high crime, and hopelessness, only to come here to face further mistreatment by mean-spirited people. And granted, they are not using the proper channels. And some of you might say, why should we help them if they're not following protocol? But is it justified to leave people cold and sleeping on the street in the dead winter because they didn't do things right? And even if they did not take the right approach, the human side of man would appeal to compassion and not leave their brothers and sisters cold and hungry and sleeping on the street. And if we think about it, we did not always do everything right, but God had compassion on us and showed us mercy when we were undeserving. So why is it so hard for some people to follow God's example and be God-like? And these same folk will be quick to say, I have the love of God in me, but where is it? Love is an action word. We don't talk about we have it. We show it. Praise God. Saints of God, we must strive to do better and to be better people. And as said by Solomon, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Glory to God. In conclusion, as we forge ahead in this new year, I'm sure many resolutions has been made concerning losing weight, getting more exercise, or eating right. All of these things are good for the physical body. But what about your spirit man? Let our resolution be to draw closer to the eternal. Now is a good time to empty ourselves of everything that clutters our spiritual houses and the things that keep us from giving God our all. The Lord wants us to love Him more than anything. It will take some purging, separation from things that has been holding you down. It'll take dying to self. But in the words of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Get rid of the dead things. Denounce dead works and follow Jesus. Give God your all. Praise God. This is the word, amen, coming into a new year and a new season. Out with the old and in with the new. It is time to give God the best that you can give Him. The best worship, the best praise, the best life. Give God your all. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.